Hello?
Hello, Stan. It's John Frame here. How are you?
Hey, John. How are you?
Good.
You probably had just tried to call, or maybe not, but we have one phone here, and suddenly it was busy. Did you try and call?
No, not just immediately now. So, yep.
That's good. Well, we want to keep it on the Brisbane budget.
Which is not very high, I can tell you.
I can imagine. It's not that high here either, John.
Well, that's why I know that you appreciate whatever support people can give you as well.
Hey, absolutely.
Yep. Okay. Stan Ridgway, welcome to 4ZZZ in Brisbane. How are you?
I'm real good. Does that sound like I mean it? I really do. I'm doing real good. I haven't lost any legs. You know, by this time, I tell you, I could have probably, with all the traveling we've done, I could be wrapped around a telephone pole by now. But I'm not. So I'm happy just to be here talking with you.
You always sound genuine. It's true.
It is true.
Yep. You have a new album that's just been released, and this is Stan Ridgway, but from over the years. Not necessarily new music, but it's going to be new to someone.
Well, actually, this record's genesis, I guess you could call that, although I don't know if I really want to get very biblical with what I do, I was collecting new songs. There's about four or five new songs on it, really, that I guess I've written in the last, like, couple of years or a year or something. I've been doing a lot of film soundtrack work here in Hollywood, and I really enjoy doing that, working, doing music for films. And so I wanted to make more time to make a full and proper brand new record, but then at the same time I was getting some calls from the record company to put something out, so I went through into my closet, and as one does as they near the big 5-0, which isn't for a few years for me, maybe a couple, but you look through your closet and you say, what is all this stuff? And, well, I decided to start kind of looking through it, and I found a lot of songs that I'd actually left off other records, not necessarily because there was anything wrong with them, but they just didn't seem to fit the concept somehow of the record that I was putting out at that point. And so I started to put them all together, and some of them were recorded in a way I liked, some were recorded in a way that maybe I had thought at the time I would improve, but then listening to them now, I thought, well, you know, this sounds good to me. So some of them may be, as the title suggests, dirty, but it's a holiday for me to put them out. So I put them together, and I thought, well, you know, this sounds pretty good to me. It's kind of a different thing to do. It's not brand new, but it is new, rare, and unreleased, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So, hence the title Holiday in Dirt, and that's kind of how it started.
It even features Mitchell Froome playing organ on Bing Can't Walk, and that was a great song that was released on the Film Songs CD that was here as part of your Australian Tour EP.
Correct. In fact, Australia was the only locale that had that record, really, and that came out down there when I was on tour there as almost like a, I think they printed up a very small number of them as almost like a tour release, and they disappeared quite fast, and I was always kind of thinking to myself, gee, you know, that song really didn't get out to the rest of the world very well, so that's on there too. Mitchell had called me when he was doing this film called Slam Dance, and I guess this was like maybe 10 years ago, 12, 15 years ago. You know, you get a little lost here, John, you know? And so I thought to myself, well, a song for a film. Mitchell, what's the film about? And Mitchell at that point was right in the middle of the soundtrack. And as people who do soundtracks will communicate to you every now and then, one day the film that they're doing, they just love. And then the next day, the film that they're doing, they just hate. And it's a frustrating kind of puzzle to solve, making music for a film. Well, the day he called me, he just hated it. And he said, it's called Slam Dance, but please don't write a song called that. And I took that to heart, and I said, well, I won't. I don't know if I would really spark on a name like that anyway. I mean, I don't know. I when I went to see Black Flag, I just, you know, kind of, you know, went out and thought that they should, maybe the Police should be called, you know. And so I started to think of something to spark on, and I'd recently viewed a kind of a bootleg videotape of no less than Bing Crosby at his 50th year in show business taping, where unfortunately he had bid adieu to the audience at some point and walked right into the orchestra pit and broke both his legs in a fall. They ended up, of course, clipping that out of the show, but that always struck me as a fairly singular image, and I couldn't get it out of my head. And at one point, Hollywood calling there and wanting the song like Tomorrow, I just scrawled something out really fast and went down to the studio with Mitchell. Mitchell thought that was a great idea because he was really mad at the film people, and he didn't really want to deliver a record or a song called Slam Dance. So we did that, and I thought it turned out great. The movie people were awfully mad. They said, why couldn't he just call it Slam Dance? And we didn't really have an answer for that, but there it is. And Mitchell's there on organ, and if you listen really close, you might be able to hear him grinding his teeth, too.
I reckon David Sutton he's got such a great presence on stage, and he's a wonderful bass player. As well as having Pietro Wexton, they're still doing keyboards. It's a strong band.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I still play with the same people. David Sutton is a wonderful player because he plays the stand-up bass, too. He hasn't been playing that for as long as people might think. He picked it up pretty fast from the electric and really is quite a player on it now. And, of course, Pietra and I have been living together and married for eons now, and we run our little Empire of the Ants musical media factory here in Venice Beach in Los Angeles. And she's there on the record also playing harp and keyboards.
Excellent. I was actually thinking about asking, like, was there a special person in Stan Ridgway's life? But, you know, it's good that your collaborator over the years has also been your life partner.
Well, we both feel pretty lucky that we ran into each other when we did. It was long before even Wall of Voodoo. Oh, maybe 2 or 3 years before that. Pietra and I actually met at a Hootenanny night, as we call it. There's someone hooting now.
So, sorry about this. My dogs just went berserk.
I totally understood. We have a dog here that's virtually blind now, and he's starting to take up bottleneck guitar. and we're having to, like, usher him around the house, you know, to each gig, you know, that he needs to get to. But Pietra and I met at, like, a Charlie Musselwhite show, the fantastic blues harmonica player at the Troubadour, and I think we started out our relationship by telling, like, incredible bold-faced lies to each other. She told me that her uncle was Lawrence Ferlinghetti, and I knew the name, of course, as the famous poet from San Francisco, but I needed to counter that, and I think I said, oh, yes, well, my uncle is Ernest Tubb, and that kind of threw her for a moment, and then I think we just drank a lot. I think that's what we did, yeah.
And you found that to be what's held you together, to be able to get you past the fact that maybe you weren't as financially successful as you would have hoped to be as a musician. Having that relationship has been the answer?
Well, everybody's relationship, of course, is different, you know, but us being together as long as we have, you know, it's really that, I think it sounds trite in a way, but, you know, you got to share a dream. And our dream has always been one of playing music and being artists and, you know, holding on to the rails of the boat through storm and high water. You know, it's not always a wonderful round of applause. There's a lot of struggle, mm-hmm. and focus and things behind the curtain, really. But that's what makes a history for people, and that's what makes something important. And so I don't know. It's a thing that we both say to ourselves, well, you know, here we are, and we're still just trying to do what we love to do.
Yeah. With the various other works that you've been doing, I appreciate the collection of lounge songs that you've put together that are wonderful songs in themselves, of The Way I Feel Today is the name of the collection, crooning the classics, and you've always been a good crooner.
Well, I guess, really, I over a period of time, I started to become obsessed with the idea of doing a lot of those songs that that I grew up with listening to when I was younger. And it kind of came together one summer with this band, and I had it all recorded. It seemed to be something that I found to be exciting. Unfortunately, at one point, I could not find anybody that was interested in putting it out because the snags in business were something else. So I guess now it's really only available via the internet, and I think back and like, well, why did I do that record? Well, of course I love the songs, but you know what, John? I did it for my mother.
Mm-hmm.
My mother always wanted to hear me sing in a way that was pleasing to her, and she really enjoys that record, and she can now she can show all of her friends that yes, indeed, Stan can sing Old Man River, you see. And so in a sense, it was a personal record for me, but I'm glad people enjoy it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I also like the live recording that was done at the Mosquitoes tour in Frankfurt, the ancient town of Frankfurt.
Yes, that's just come out and is available on the internet via either my website, stanridgeway.com, or you might find it other places, but that just came out. That's a recording from 1989, I think, playing the famous Backshop Club in Frankfurt, Germany. And the band at that point and all of us were quite geared up to play all the songs from the second record I put out on Geffen, Mosquitoes. And when I heard that tape, I thought, with some distance from it, of course, I thought, this is, we sound really great here, if I do say so myself. So it just seemed the proper thing to put it out at this point. I'm glad people are enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. Because I've done a number of recordings of bands, like friends' bands here, live. And the style of live recording I do, I think I really appreciate the technical quality of it. But when you play it back to the musicians themselves, all they listen for is, did I play this note right? Or how good was my voice?
Yeah, well, musicians are exacting peoples, and there can be the tendency to concentrate just on what they're doing. Me as the engineer of the train, it is my job to oversee and almost direct the thing. But even I can lose, of course, some perspective being in the middle of it. It usually takes me a year or two or longer to actually really judge a live recording, because when I hear them, I only hear a lot of the things that I would like to improve. Mm-hmm. And it gets very frustrating for me, because I'm not exactly also a large fan of my own voice live. At times I'll hear myself and I'm just telling myself, well, I'm kind of struck by the largeness of sometimes the way it sounds, and you know what I say, John. I just get disgusted with myself, and I put it in the closet, you see. And that's what happens to all this stuff. It gets in the closet, and 10 years later, it comes out. What I really need is a nurse.
To do what for you?
Just to take care of all these things. I need a music nurse. Someone who comes in, sweeps up, snips a few things, cleans some stuff, empties a few garbage cans,
Yep.
It's hard to get good work these days. Pietro and I end up doing a lot of it ourselves, and of course, being as close to it as we are, sometimes it just becomes overwhelming. And, it's kind of part of the rub of being an independent artist. If you were probably, in a concern where there's just a lot of people trying to squeeze anything out of you, a lot of bad stuff gets put out that way. So we're happy with what we're doing, but it does take some distance to kind of find out in a live recording if that recording, is representative or not. And the one from Frankfurt there I thought was highly representative, and I really enjoy listening to it.
Yep.
Although I listen to it more in my head than I do just sitting around the house listening to myself.
Sure. I enjoyed John Waters' film Pecker. I thought that was a great film in the first place.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good film.
Especially impressed to see on the soundtrack CD that you're back working with Stuart Copeland, like from Don't Box Me In, but here's this wonderful song about prison love.
Well, I tell you how that happened. Stuart was doing the soundtrack for John, and John's idea was that he was going to write all the songs, and that Stuart would do the music. And of course, that just sounded great to Stuart. Stuart called me up and said, "Stan, do you think you'd want to sing on one of these songs?" And I said, "Are you kidding? For John Waters? I'll soap up for him, you know." And then that kind of got translated to John somehow, who got a laugh out of that. And then he wrote the soap song and came back at me with that. And so I said, "Well, but then I've just got to sing this now." And so I really didn't write it,
okay.
But I'm so happy to have anything to do with John Waters. He's really one of my favorite people. And singing and performing this song is really a highlight of my career.
Mm-hmm. Does it get performed outside of that, though? Have you occasionally done that on stage?
We've never done it.
Right.
I don't even know how to play it. It all happens so fast.
Yeah.
You know, well, it's like the song. It happens so fast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what happened. It's like prison, John. You know, what can I say?
Yeah, well, luckily I've never been there. I have no great desire to go there either.
No. I'm afraid not. I have no romance with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just really happy to be involved with anything John Waters does. I think he's truly, truly a brilliant man. And absolutely funny and just has a great spin on life.
Yep. Now, I'd just like to get your comment too on the website cdbaby.com, because the purpose of that particular record shop is that they're selling really only independent music. They don't sell any mainstream or bigger commercial stuff. Do you find that that's working well for you? Do you think it's a good idea?
I ran into maybe a year and a half ago Grant Lee Phillips, who was in a band called Grant Lee Buffalo, and Grant told me about cdbaby.com. I said, "What's that?" And he says, "Well, it's pretty good, Stan. I'm selling my record there." So I checked it out, and I think it's really one of the best things that's happened on the internet for a while in selling records. They have no ads. There are no banner ads. They do not have any sponsorships with any other questionable magazines or products. They simply are an internet record store that sells independent records. And I've found that it's really my answer to getting things out there that wouldn't normally come out on other channels. I'm able to do limited releases on CD Baby. I'm able to maybe just say, "Well, you know, this is probably a special thing. Maybe let's only make up like 500 of them, and then we'll move on." And it's turned out to be a lot of fun because it's a direct link to people that would want to, buy something of an independent artist without a lot of trouble and without a lot of with absolutely no corporate interference.
Great. Yeah, and it's a friendly process, like buying through them even. You know that you're being fed show business in the process of the purchase, but you also get a good sense of honesty and confidence out of it.
Yeah, I really do believe so. I've had no complaints whatsoever on anybody receiving CDs or product from CD Baby. They're just I know the fellow personally now who runs the place, and it's in Portland, Oregon, and he's quite a computer programmer at the same time. He's made a great site that is so easy to navigate and so easy to get to what you want to find, and it's also really fun to browse because he has a lot of things in there where it's very easy to browse through things that maybe you might not have heard of, or you might discover. And I think in a lot of ways it probably is going to be the wave of the future for a lot of independent artists, this type of a way of international distribution.
Mm-hmm. What I'm hoping to get from you, Stan, also is, as I said in the email, like we have the Andy Preboy plug for 4ZZZ, the station ID that gets played on a regular basis. But would you like to add one of your own?
Oh, sure. Okay. Hello, this is Stan Ridgway, calling from Los Angeles. I know I'm here, but when I'm there in Brisbane, I triple in, triple shit and fuck, that's what I do. Okay, shall we try another one now?
Sure.
Hello there, this is Stan Ridgway calling from Los Angeles. I'm not there now, but when I am in Brisbane, I tune right into 4ZZZ in Brisbane. Don't change that dial.
Good stuff. Yeah, please give my love to Pietra and David as
well. I will. Thanks so much, John. Let's stay in touch.
Shall do. See you, Stan.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.